The Rescue Worker, a lifelong transformational journey of Jesus apprentices, learning to love, serve, and be like the Master. Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke with Dr. Douglas Pereira.
Hello, welcome to The Rescue Worker, this community of Jesus apprentices that are trying to learn how to love and serve like Jesus, our master and example. As this community, we have a model that we live for. The model of Jesus apprentices is the following. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and you must love your neighbor as yourself. Yes, that is the way that Jesus apprentices, they try to live the way of the love, the way of loving God, loving your neighbor, and loving yourselves. And I hope you try to live by this model. On our journey of the Rescue Worker community, we are on this Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. We are on the 8th week, and this week we are studying the final verses of chapter 4 of Luke. And even today we'll be reading the last verses, verses 42 to 44. And each week of our journey together, we have a memory verse that we try to encourage you to memorize. And the memory verse for this week comes from the Bible verse that we read and studied yesterday. And it is Luke 4, 40. As the sun went down that evening, people throughout the village brought sick family members to Jesus. No matter what their diseases were, the touch of his hand healed everyone. Yes, Jesus the Messiah had the power to heal all the diseases, and he was offering and ministering to the people, touching them and delivering them. What a beautiful Bible verse, and for us to keep in mind and give us the assurance that God can touch us as well, and we need to pray for that. Well, today we'll be studying the final, let's say, conclusion of this section of the Gospel of Luke, this introduction of Jesus' public ministry. And then Luke will take us to a different route, a different path, presenting us a different perspective of Jesus' ministry. So far, we have seen him in the synagogues, preaching, healing. And then we'll see a new chapter that will start tomorrow. But for us to understand the message for today, and I think there's a powerful and beautiful message here, we need to be sensitive and open to the Holy Spirit's voice. For that, we need to prepare ourselves. Position ourselves so the Holy Spirit can talk to us. And as we come to the Bible, I do believe that we're coming to the throne of grace. We're coming to meet God. And every time we come to meet God, we have special blessings waiting for us. Hebrews 4:16 talks about those blessings. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we'll find grace to help us when we need it most. We'll find grace and mercy. So I'm praying that somehow we'll find grace and hope and mercy here on these verses, because we are coming into God's throne when we pray, we study the Bible, and when we connect with him. And we need to keep that in mind. So take this time right now to connect with God, to try to position yourself for the work of the Holy Spirit, to prepare your heart for God's message. Thank you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for your blessings, for this opportunity that we have to come before the throne of grace, to be in your presence, to experience Jesus Christ, and to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Lord, we seek for the mercy and the grace that you have prepared for us. So Lord, bless us. I pray. Bless us, Lord, in a mighty way. Help us to hear your voice and only your voice. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Here we are. Luke chapter 4, verses 42 to 44. But where we are, what is happening here as we finish reading those verses? We are reflecting in Jesus' ministry, his public ministry, in Galilee that focused in the synagogues. We saw him teaching in the synagogue of Nazareth with a powerful message that defines his mission, the reason for Jesus to be here, right? And let's read this verse, Luke 4, verse 18 and 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. So we have this clear presentation of Jesus' ministry, and he's teaching this in the synagogues, this message. Then we come to a very specific Sabbath day in Capernaum. And why Capernaum? Because Nazareth didn't accept Jesus. So Jesus moves his headquarters to Capernaum. He is in the synagogue. It is a Sabbath day. And it was a long Sabbath day for Jesus. He starts teaching. He was part of the rituals and the teaching. Maybe he studied and more about Luke 4, 18 and 19, or the verses that we refer to Isaiah 61. So he teached there. But now we see him facing a different aspect of his ministry. He's not just the teacher, the rabbi. Now he's presented in the synagogue of Capernaum with a demon-possessed person. And he's not teaching with authority, but his authority also is able to deliver that boy, that man, from the demon of the evil spirit. So he has power and authority over the demons and the evil spirits. So he's not just the teacher, he's the healer, the one that delivers. And what he's doing here, he's fulfilling the mission that he just referred to in Nazareth, a mission that comes back to the book of Isaiah, chapter 61 and Isaiah chapter 58. Then he leaves the synagogue. Service is done. He leaves the synagogue, goes to Simon Peter's home. He gets there. He faces the mother-in-law of Simon with a disease. And what he does, he heals her. So he has authority over the demons and over the diseases. What a long Sabbath for Jesus. But it was not done yet. Came the sunset. And as soon the new day and a new week started, all the city came to see and meet Jesus. And they brought their family ones, the loved ones that were sick, and Jesus healed them. Probably Jesus had a late night. And I can imagine the joy and the rejoice that took over of the city. I can hear in the streets of Capernaum people
jumping of happiness. My mother's healed. My son is okay. Oh, my father will leave. I can see the rejoice and the shout of happiness because the manifestation of God's kingdom. God's kingdom, its power is here, manifesting itself in a mighty way through Jesus Christ, the Messiah. So Jesus had a late night, a full day. And now comes verse 42. Early the next morning. So probably as the sun was coming up at sunrise, Jesus went out to an isolated place. Jesus leaves Capernaum, the city of Capernaum, and find a place where he could be by himself. Wow. Luke doesn't give us the reason for Jesus to go there. If we go to the gospel according to Mark, we have a little more information. And Mark says that Jesus went to the isolated place for prayer. And I think that's a great aspect to understand. You see, Jesus, he didn't live a monastic life. And what is a monastic life? Is when you detach yourself from reality, from the city, and go to an isolation or an isolated place where you can concentrate only in your relationship with God, right? And some people look for or try to live a life like that, totally disassociate from the city, from temptation, go to a place where they can be there for good as much as they can, so they can prepare themselves, connect with God, and prepare for the kingdom to come. Well, it is good, this idea. It sounds beautiful. However, that doesn't reflect the life of Jesus. Yes, Jesus had moments where he went to see the Father, stay with the Father, but he didn't stay there. He came back to serve and minister. He was not fleeing from the temptation. He's going away to pay attention to the Father. So Jesus didn't live a monastic life. He had moments of isolation with the Father here. And I do believe that we need to have those moments of connection, that we are not being interrupted, that we can focus and concentrate on Jesus and his relationship. But we don't see Jesus living and staying there. Therefore, we should not live or aim for a such life. I understand how beautiful and appealing it is to go in a smaller place, right? I came from São Paulo city, almost 20 million people living, the traffic, the struggles and all that of a city. Now I live in a city of 200,000 people. It's a small city compared to where I'm coming from. It is much friendly, and I can imagine living in a smaller place how beautiful it could be, but that is not the life. And we'll see that Jesus is coming back, because the life of the kingdom is not a life that is focusing and isolation, preparing ourselves to a kingdom to come. But the lifestyle according to the kingdom is bringing the kingdom and manifesting the kingdom where we are. You see, Christians, they are not preparing for eternity. The Christians, they are supposed to bring eternity to earth. It is a different movement that impacts the way we see God and relate to one another. And that is so crucial. The Christians are not here on this earth just to stay by themselves, having the right information, the right behavior, the right faith, isolated from temptation, so they can be perfect, so they can be accepted to a kingdom to come. That is not the description of a kingdom life. A description of the kingdom life is a life that tries to bring and implement God's kingdom, its values, here right now. So Jesus go to isolate. And that is important. And I have, I think, talk about that with you. Usually when I come start my day, I usually lay down my plans and my responsibilities and some of the needs that I'm aware to God and ask for guidance, wisdom, and the proper skills to accomplish the tasks ahead of me, right? Hey, Lord, I need to write this sermon today. Hey, Lord, I need to lead on this prayer meeting. Hey, Lord, I need to do this visit. Hey, Lord, I need to have this tough conversation. Can you help me? Right? That usually what we do. We present the reality of our life and ask God bless us. But Jesus would go to the Father and would say, Father, what is my agenda for today? What is the schedule? The unit and the community that Jesus had with the Father was a beautiful community that Jesus was surrendering himself daily to the Father and to the Father's plans and guidance. Where should I go? What should I do? What should I say? And I think more and more we need to move towards this direction. Not just asking God to bless us and our plans, but asking God to bless us, providing his plans for us. So Jesus went there. So I think this perspective of Jesus early in the morning going in solitude, it is important for us to keep in mind. But Luke here gives a different hint that we need to keep in mind. And what is the hint? Okay, let's continue. The crowds searched everywhere for him. And when they finally found him, they begged him not to leave them. So as Jesus left, the crowds are, where's Jesus? We need Jesus. Where's Jesus? Well, let's find Jesus. And they're trying to find Jesus. And their main plea is, don't leave. You need to stay. Stay here in Capernaum. You're loved here. Stay here. You see, Jesus is facing with a temptation here. A similar temptation that he faced in the desert. To accomplish his mission in a different way that God had not revealed to him. You see, all the temptations that Jesus faced were related to his identity, his mission, and how to accomplish his mission. And somehow here, we have the situation. Jesus was not welcome in Nazareth. He is welcome in Capernaum, and people say, stay here, don't go, stay here. Let's have you here. Let's make Capernaum a center of Jesus' ministry. People from all around the world will come here. We'll give you a structure. We'll bless you. We'll protect you, right? And I can see even people with that idea. Well, if Jesus stay here, a lot of people will come, so I can have more people in my hotel, or can sell more food for people that are passing by, right? We can see many perspectives. The idea of stay here, let's build a cathedral so everybody can come here. But the kingdom movement is not this one of bringing people to a place. It's not inviting people to come to a building, to a city, so they can be blessed. The kingdom movement is going after those that are sick, those that are unfavorable, those that are poor, those that are broken, those that need healing. It's not asking them to come to us, is the kingdom coming to them. And I think this movement is so important because that can give us insight how Jesus' apprentices should live their lives. We should not build cathedrals so people can come. We should go and be with people, serving with people. And that's what Jesus said here. But he replied, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God in other towns. True. Because that is why I was sent. Yes, would be more comfortable for Jesus to stay in a place that he's loved, accept. He doesn't need to go around. He can be there and people come to him. But there's a problem. That is not God's plan. That is not the kingdom movement. That's not the way the kingdom moves. And Jesus says, sorry, I cannot do that. I need to go to other cities. Interesting that Luke has used many words, but he decided to use here the word city. Jesus has a love for the cities. Interesting that most of people want to leave the cities to isolate places. But Jesus is going from isolated place to the city. Look at this movement. Jesus loves the city. Well, he doesn't love the buildings itself. He loves the people in the city. He loves New York because there's people there. He loves Japan because there's people. He loves London. He loves Toronto. He loves Brasilia, Rio de Janeiro. He loves the cities because people are in the cities. People in the cities are in need. And Jesus is going after the needs. So he leaves the isolated place to the city. He doesn't go from the city to isolate place to stay there, but he leaves the isolate to minister to the city. That's the movement of the kingdom. And that is the reason he's here. And why? What is the reason? To preach, to proclaim, to implement, to demonstrate, to exemplify the good news. And what is the good news? If I ask you, what is the good news? What is gospel? We may hear many, oh, the gospel is the salvation of Jesus Christ on the cross. The gospel is this or that. And it may be part of the gospel. But the full gospel that Jesus was presenting, the gospel that John preached was the gospel of the kingdom of God. God rules. He is the sovereign one. And you need to surrender your life to the sovereign one. You need to submit yourself to him. You need to live according to a citizen of this kingdom. You need to do the mission of the kingdom, that is to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, the oppressed will be set free, and the time of the Lord's favor has come. That is the mission of the kingdom. So Jesus, he preached the gospel of the kingdom. He lives out this gospel. He focuses in this gospel. He doesn't want to change the message, the methodology, the way. He wanted to be faithful. So let me ask you, what gospel are you living? Are you experiencing? And what gospel are you presenting? The same way Jesus said, because that's why I was sent, to proclaim the good news to the cities. Jesus was sent for that, to proclaim the good news of the kingdom. So when Jesus said, I sent you as the Father has sent me, that means I'm here to present the gospel of the kingdom. I'm here to declare this kingdom. I'm here to manifest this kingdom. I'm here to express this kingdom. I'm here to bring the kingdom to earth. Again, the movement is not Christians preparing to a kingdom to come. The movement is Christians implementing the kingdom right now, right here. And verse 44. So he continued to travel around, preaching in the synagogues throughout Judea. Jesus kept his mission, faithful to his mission. He's going to town, proclaim the good news of the kingdom. This good news that God rules and people need to submit and surrender to God. Love God with all their heart and love one another. He's proclaiming and declaring, presenting the good news to the poor. The captives are set free. The blind will see and the oppressed will find freedom. He's doing live that, and he's going to synagogues, right? Where people did life together. Synagogue was not a place exclusively for worship. It functioned at school, a forum, an official court for decisions, place for parties, celebrations, and also for Bible study. He's going after city to the places where people are. And throughout what? Judea. Up to this point, Luke talk about Galilee, throughout Galilee. So the ministry of Jesus starts in Galilee and grows now to Judea. And it's very interesting that Luke used Judea as a word to describe in his gospel the country or the land of Israel. So the full country, the full territory. So Jesus starts, yes, in Galilee. He focused more in Galilee because people are more acceptable of his ministry in Galilee, but he doesn't stay only in Galilee. He goes and bless all people through all the land. So that's crucial. And we see this movement as well in the first verses of the of Acts, another book written by Luke. Right? Jesus said, go and be my witness in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, until the ends of the earth. So it starts where you are, and Jesus started where he was brought up. And expand. Expand what? The manifestation of the kingdom. The kingdom must reach the end of the earth. The kingdom cannot be confined to or a community, or a small town, or our life, or a household. The kingdom must reach the world. And sometimes we don't want to mess up what we have, and just we want to stay just where we are, having the people that we love just where we are. We don't want to send them out. We cannot lose them. Let's stay here. We are good here. But the kingdom must go to everywhere. To everywhere. And we'll see how Jesus took now this kingdom to everywhere. Tomorrow we'll continue this new perspective of Jesus' ministry. He is the preacher. He is the healer. He is the master, the rabbi. But now we'll see where Jesus will spend most of his time. Focusing his ministry starting tomorrow. But before we finish, what is your good news? The good news that you are living is a good news that's just focusing in the forgiveness of sins. Is the good news just about serving others? Is a good news just based on your own preference? Oh, yeah, I like this kind of music. I like this kind of message. Oh, I like this. I like that. So it's all about you. It's a consumer-oriented gospel. You are in the gospel of, oh, what is the right information? Being right, right? or you are living, experiencing, and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. That God rules. He's ruling in my life. And now I'll live as a citizen of this kingdom, loving people, forgiving people, providing to the needs, going after people, not waiting people to come to us, but going after these people. Wow. What kind of gospel are we experiencing and declaring? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for your blessings. Thank you because you are the Almighty God. Thank you for Jesus' ministry and how he's a model for us. Help us to follow this model. Help us, Lord, to follow his footsteps. Help us to experience the kingdom of God. And help us, Lord, to proclaim and invite people to be part of this kingdom. Forgive our sins and give us a great day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Are you ready for the questions? The questions for reflection? And here are the questions. And I want to encourage you maybe to journal with those questions. What is happening in this passage? What stuck out to me? What can I learn about God and his kingdom? In what ways has Jesus loved and served? How should I love and serve? According to Jesus' example, what specific steps can I take to apply these lessons in my life? How can I share these lessons with others today? Thank you. Thank you for being with us, studying the Bible, being part of this community, the community of Jesus' apprentices. And I pray that you will experience God's kingdom in your life and you will declare God's kingdom in a form that people can touch and see God's kingdom in you. May God bless you, and I hope to see you tomorrow.
Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke.